Hey there, and welcome to a Silver Lined relaunch. And today I have Tracy Brown in the house, and I got to tell you, you may not know her, but she might know something about you. She was named by Time Magazine as one of the top nation's deception detection experts. She trained alongside our country's top law enforcement, and she is a frequent television guest and author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft. And her fraud spotting learning platform is something that she's going to be sharing a little bit about with us today. She is also about to launch a TV show around uncovering fraudulent behavior. This episode is brought to you by the Fired Up Entrepreneur Program. And this is a program that we are so proud of. The results have been downright remarkable. And we want to invite you to get a glimpse of what it is like inside this program by inviting you to participate in the Business Boot Camp, which is a 5-day free event, and get involved with this because the pearls that we're going to be sharing each and every day are going to be the foundation for allowing you to make money, keep the money, grow the money, and strengthen not only your business, but also yourself. So please take advantage of this and join us at our next boot camp. You're listening to the Silver Lined Relaunch, and I'm your host, Hillary DeCesar, award-winning entrepreneur and transitional coach. Each week, I'll invite you to tune into inspirational stories, revealing how you too can turn ordinary experiences into the extraordinary. Feeling stuck? I'll share step-by-step strategies to fuel your ability to experience a life where silver linings are both abundant and possible. So this is so exciting. I have to tell you, Tracy, I literally was thinking about you a couple days ago, and I thought, when am I interviewing her? How come it hasn't been scheduled yet? And now you are here and we are doing this.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for having me on. This is fantastic.
Tracy, you're so cool. Like you are what everyone would love to be doing, or at least me. I think it's the coolest thing ever. And I've been so excited to get to the nitty gritty on how you do it, what key takeaways, but the show is not just about like the Nancy Drew and everything, you know, behind Nancy Drew. It is about the relaunches that have made you who you are and where you are today, and the silver linings behind it. And so I always love to open up the floor to you to be able to share with us your biggest relaunch that has brought you to where you are today.
Oh man. Well, they've all been big for me, and let's go back. And I think we talked about this when we chatted a couple of weeks ago. So this pandemic was pretty huge for me in that, I had the attitude going in, because on the surface, I want to say this right, on the surface, it was devastating, because I am mostly a keynote speaker and I travel to conferences to speak. And when you can't get together, it turns out there's not a lot of conferences. And so my schedule just wiped itself clean back in March. And after working for so many years to get that schedule, that was pretty devastating. But I knew, and I learned this in 2008 with the recession, that if I kept my eyes open and if I just paid attention to what the universe laid in front of me, there would be a huge opportunity that I would be able to jump on. Mm-hmm. And I knew one other guiding principle, and that is that I wanted to be better positioned coming out of the pandemic than I was going in. And I knew I wanted to do more TV. And so that's all I knew.
Well, I love what you're saying because yes, you literally were putting together the relaunch process in your mind about like, how can I make this a positive for me coming out of this? Because as you said this, I really want to make sure that people realize that people who are on stages, you lost not only that last year and a half, but people were very reticent about booking anything in the future too.
Yeah.
So it's not like when everything opens up, boom, you are, you know, everything is filled and your schedule is full for the next year. You got to rebuild, redesign your entire future. And then you said, you know, you kept my eyes open and you paid attention. Mm-hmm. And what came to you?
Well, I started a podcast because I realized I knew how to detect a lie because I'm a body language expert. That's super easy for me. It's something I've trained to do, right? It's become easy. I started a podcast because I knew how to detect a lie. I didn't know how to run a scam. And so I
love that. I didn't know how to run a scam.
I didn't know. And so I wanted to see who would talk to me. And I found some of the world's most notorious criminals. Most of them that I talked to have gone to the good side. Not all of them. Most of them. So I started talking to them and I started talking to cops and investigators and people who've been defrauded. And I mean, amazing, amazing stories. And these stories kind of started to pile up and people would tell me stories after my keynotes. And I just thought, man, these stories are amazing. They're so good. What could I do with these stories? And I remember I said, I wanted to do more TV. So I got a call from someone who heard my podcast, old client of mine, hadn't talked to her in probably 15 years. And I had forgotten she was very, very wealthy. And she goes, hey, what would you do with $100,000? I love your podcast. I love what you're up to. Do you need an investment? And my first thought was, no, this is a weird business to get an investment in. No. And then I remember driving around and I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll get that TV show idea back out again. And because I had one, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and kind of worked on it a little bit and it didn't really go anywhere. I got it back out, looked at it, and I was like, oh, it didn't go anywhere because it sucks. And
this is what I love about Tracy. And this is what we had so much fun last time we had a conversation. You call it the way it is. I mean, BS here. You're like, you know what? It sucked. That idea, bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally was not good. But I kind of revamped it, I threw it away and kept like one concept is that it needs to be all about lie detection and it needs to have a story. And so I was like, huh, maybe I could do something with this. And so I had the story I wanted to use for a pilot. And I talked to some friends. I was like, should I take this money? What should I do? And here's the problem is as soon as you take money, you're beholden to someone.
Amen.
You're also, you need a plan to pay it back. And I didn't want either of those because I didn't know how I could pay it back. I don't know, like, to even if I was certain it could get on the air somehow, I don't even know how much money that is, right? And so I had no clue. And so I ended up not taking the money.
You know what? Kudos to you, because so many people think, oh, they want to give me money, I should take it. Mm-mm. And you're off to the races. But then you get that money. And as you said, you're beholden to them. And if they have a different idea on the direction, they start to change it, they modify it. And next thing you know, you're creating something that isn't your vision at all. It's somebody else's.
Well, there's that. And there's just flat out, how are you going to pay it back? Yeah. Just flat out. Cause it is easy to spend money on video production. I'll tell you that for sure. And, but I started making some calls and I ended up finding a writer in Hollywood and I talked to a crime writer in Hollywood, talked her into working with me. And she's Emmy nominated. She's been a executive at HBO. Like, she's the real deal. And I just love her to death. And we came and I was just like, you know what? I think I have to do this. Like, I had to do it for a few reasons. Like, because in Hollywood, you don't always have to shoot a pilot. Like, ideally, you want someone else to shoot a pilot or to film it, right? To pay for it. But with how nuanced body language is, I was like, people are going to need to see this for one. For two, I needed my own footage for my keynotes, right? Mm-hmm. And also I needed something because I was going so crazy without being on the road, without moving forward in my business. And it gave me this whole new thing to focus on. So I went for it. And it took me from about this time, like when I found my writer, from about this time last year till last January, when I had it, I had the pilot that we needed. And I was able to get the sizzle reel like you saw. And so
outstanding, by the way, I love it. But before you even got the sizzle reel, you have written a book.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you have been doing this for a long time. It's just now you're going into
entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really the culmination of everything that I've done is to put together this TV show, you know, that came from this little podcast idea that came from the whole idea of me flipping, like calling lie detection fraud prevention. It turns out they pay you a lot more when you get the terminology just right. And and so it's all these things. And anyway, we're working on selling the show in Hollywood right now. And it's called Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups. And so people can do a search, or I can give you the link and you can see the sizzle reel. And that's been my... I
definitely put the sizzle reel in the show notes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt. So you'll be able to go to therelaunchco.com and it will be there for everybody to see. Cause I'm like, absolutely. I mean, this is one of those like, oh, get it out there soon. Intrigue, you know, you got everything that people want, suspense, you know. And let's go into what everyone really is so fascinated about, which is how do you detect a lie?
Oh, so there's a couple ways to do it. The one real easy way is that when you ask someone a direct yes or no question, you got to believe the body first, take the words with a grain of salt. So if you ask me a question like whatever it is, and I said, I would never do that. Do you see that? See, I'm nodding yes. My body's nodding yes. Yep.
So for those that are not watching the video over in YouTube, she is doing one of those head nods, but the opposite of what yes is. She's doing
the words. Yeah. So when the body language and the words don't match, you got a hot spot. It's real easy for a direct yes or no question. When it gets longer than that, well, let's go back to the direct yes or no. If I shook my head no like this and said, you can ask me anything. Do you see how it does?
Interesting. And that, why does it, let me ask you something. Why does it do that? Why, like I could sit there and say, yeah, you know, I'm really interested.
Really interested in that.
Yeah. And I'm nodding my head. No, like why does that, you know, in our body do that?
It's just hard. It's hardwired into us. Since we were little bitty, that shaking your head means no, right? Like even when your mom tries to give you a bite of food, you're like, no, right? So it's just hardwired into us. Now different cult in like Asia, they do it different, right? But that's how it is here, Western US or Western culture, right? So always believe the body first, take the words with a grain of salt. And for longer answers that you need, what it takes a little bit more time, not much, but you need to get a baseline for people. And we all have a normal way we behave. And what happens is when we get into cognitive overload, when we're lying, because the brain's doing too much, trying to keep up with the situation and create more story and add feeling and add emotion and add time and all these things, body language falls off the plate. So during a pointed conversation about something that could be potentially incriminating, when the body language shifts dramatically, that can lead to deception, that can show deception.
So what we always hear when, you know, or I have always heard with kids, if they don't look you in the eye, they're lying.
Well, again, that goes back to a baseline situation. Some of us have a look to talk rule. And what do? Because when we're young, we learn, you look your father in the eye, young lady, right? And some of us don't. Like I do not have that, right? I've been looking all over this whole time. And so if I started to look you directly in the eye all the time with every word of the conversation, for one, it's insanely hard for me to do just when I try to do it, but that's a shift in baseline. So you want to compare people to themselves, not to like a wives tale that you may have heard
so
out.
Interesting. What I'm hearing you say is that, like, first and foremost, you need to look to see what is their, as you said, baseline when they're just talking, when they're just, you know, discussing things with you, to see what they're doing. And then when you start to ask the questions, then if there's some, you know, shiftiness, then you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I talk about in my book, is all the things you can look for that can shift things from blink rate, blink weight. How are they crossing their arms? Like, all, how are they sitting? What's their feet doing? Like, all these little things you can start to look for. And because here's the deal, Hillary, most of us are paying so much attention to ourselves, we're just not paying attention to what's going on outside us. And people are screaming at you all the time, exactly what's going on, exactly what they're going to do next. And it's up to you to see it. And most of us just don't. So really what I like to do, especially in my keynotes, is just raise people's sensory acuity. And that's how much they're paying attention to what goes on outside of them.
So how do you raise somebody's acuity, sensory?
Well, I don't want to give it away too much, but
give us a little. Just give us a little bit of something we can take away.
Well, in my talks, I'll bait them into it with prizes and things like that, like for things that they don't want to miss, right? But the easiest way to do it is just get a buddy and close your eyes. And make a picture of your buddy in your head, and then open your eyes and see what you got right and see what you got wrong. Like from the color of their shirt to how their hair is to what kind of jewelry are they wearing, to like how are they sitting, what's in front of them, the whole thing. It's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. And some groups are better at it than others. Like the ones in the people business are better, like real estate agents. And I just spoke, I think I told you, at the Bowling Proprietors Association people business, right?
Let me ask you, on average, what can people remember about that buddy closing your eyes? How many things could they remember?
Well, you know what? I don't have the stats on that as far as in my talks. And that would be a good one to get, but they say you can remember 7 ± 2 things. So 5 to 9 things you can remember, but with attention, you can pay attention to however many you want.
So good. That is, you know, cause you always wonder, and I shared with you my story where when I first met this guy that ended up investing in one of my companies, when I first met him, I had the hair on the back of my neck just stand up. And my intuition was on, you know, it was like a fire alarm going off in my head, you know, run, get out of here. You do not want to do business with this guy. Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. Situations happened. And even though I had been guaranteed he would not be involved, boom, he got involved. But is there a way, like, do you ever, I'd love to understand, how do you merge what you know with intuition, and like what I was feeling, like the feeling versus these specifics? Like, do you ever do that? Or is it very much like, these are the clues that are coming out, you know, like you said about, you know, baseline cognitive area.
So what I do is put some science behind the hunches that you have. Mm-hmm. Right. And you had a hunch and you didn't follow it, and then you ended up paying for it. And I know it was traumatic and drawn out and long, and probably something you really wish never had to happen, right? But even you did your best to like circumnavigate around it, but it still came back at you, right? So you gotta follow a hunch, and then you can look for the clues to, because here's the deal, there's a reason to do business with anyone, there's a reason not to do business with anyone that you see. And what I do is give you the signs so that you can have more empirical data than just there's something about it, right? There's something about that guy. So
that's what I love. I love that, as you said, science behind the hunches. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding that, yeah, we have these intuitive hits or we have that gut feel, but then you put down like, hey, here are the things that you should actually be really thinking about. Like as I'm nodding my head.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the way you should be doing it. Okay. So awesome. Awesome. I love all that. Now you did say something really interesting when you first started and you said, when you rephrased what you actually did, it took off. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I was calling, cause I'm a body language expert and I started out doing, I'm a body language expert. Great. Guess what? Body language experts are a dime a dozen. We are. And anyone who's read like 3 articles in Cosmo and about body language can call themselves a body language expert, right? And so then I started focusing on lie detection more. And so I like that was better. It was better. And then I started working with someone who says, hey, you need to be in a category of one. And she came up with this. She's like, how about you're the fraud busting body language expert, right? So all of a sudden I went from just run of the mill to like fraud busting body language expert. Like that sounds interesting, right? And it sounds like I solve big problems. And
that is, I love what you just said, because you go from this body language expert. All right. Yeah. And you know, you could say you're a coach, you could say, you know, all these different things. And there, as you said, dime a dozen, tons of them out there, blah, blah, blah. How do you differentiate yourself? Mm-hmm. And the way you did it is, hey, how can I be a category of one? And you came up with fraud busting body language expert.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point you're like, yeah. Okay. So tell me what you do when you're fraud busting. Tell me what's your process?
Well, mostly like, I'll do video review and, you know, I do work a lot on fraud. Before we talk about what I do, let's go back. Cause I'm not done talking about that fraud busting. Cause I think what happens in business, at least with keynote speakers, the ones who are kind of finding their footing and even some of the more ones that get booked more, it's important to solve a problem that people know they have. And that sounds silly and it sounds trite to even have to say that, but it's true. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have information that is great and we want to put it out there and we're like, this is great. If you have to convince people that they have the problem, then you solve it. You are doing 3 to 4 times the amount of work that you need to do. And there is a line item at the bottom of every balance sheet at the end of the quarter, at the end of the year that says fraud. And so if I can tie myself to that, then all of a sudden I'm much more valuable. So the more you can do that, because that's what business is about, is solving people's problems, right? And the more you can solve their specific problem, the more that they will pay you. So there's that. What do I do? So mostly what I do is help people learn the signs for themselves. So because I can't be everywhere at all times. And it helps in interviewing and negotiations and all sorts of things. And investigations, sales, you name it, right? To know more about whoever's across from you is worth its weight in gold. Now to do that, I have an online platform that, I do keynotes, right? And that's great. I have an online platform that people use like after when they want to know more. And it's just little bitty short videos, self-paced. It's super cool. I do work on investigations when they come in. Some of them are fraud. Some of them are not. Lately, I've had a couple child sex abuse cases come in and I do a lot of video review with that and do opinion letters and things like that actually have a legal weight to them and are used in cases and things. So that's been anywhere from, like I said, child sexual abuse to I worked on a rape case, a California water law case, politics. I try to not do. I accidentally got sucked into one of those. I won't do it that again. Because people are just nasty and crazy. And I had to tell my client that he was the one that was nuts. And it wasn't the other guy.
Yeah, you said something about, you know, court and you're identifying these videos and everything. Can they use what you're saying in court? I mean, is this now scientifically like, yeah, that's what's happening? I mean, is there enough data out there that it is admissible in court?
Not admissible. And neither is a polygraph test, right?
Yeah.
There's variability in both the practices. But I can't inform the case. And the thing is, even if a jury gets a report from me and it's like they have the report in their hands, but then it's struck, they still have the report in their hands and that can still influence, right? So that'll happen, but also I'll inform lawyers where to dig more. Like there's more information here. You need to go find it, like that kind of thing. So anyway, yeah, those are some of the ways that people use me. And like I do it sometimes. It's not the meat of what I do, but I think it's important when I do it.
So one of my favorite parts as we, you know, kind of come to an end here with our interview is I love to ask rapid fire questions. And so you are creating this TV show. You're going to have, it's dramatizations. You're going to take stories and then put them into your series or your
episode. Yeah, it's a scripted drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is the craziest one that you've heard so far? Can you give us a little detail?
The craziest one. There was a lot of fraud that happened in the pandemic, and it's so simple and so brazen that
I love that you're like cracking yourself up right now, like crazy.
I'm like, oh my. So there were people out there offering during the pandemic, you know, because your money's dirty, right? To set your cash out on your porch. And they would come, take it and clean it for you and bring it back.
No.
Yes.
No.
And it worked.
Okay. I have not heard that. That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. So that's the, you know, they took it, they did one of the three steps.
That is so crazy. Okay. So another question. What has been the biggest fraud episode for yourself?
For myself? Well, I grew up racing bikes with Lance Armstrong. So there you go, right out of the block there. We all knew something was going on with him. We all knew it. And when I say all, I mean, all the people racing, knew it. And, you know, it only took 20 years for him to come clean about all this performance enhancing drug use. But yeah, he was the one, you know, you knew something was going on, but you didn't know what, and you didn't know, but you knew it was no good. So yeah, that was it just happened to be the biggest fraud in all of sports.
And you were right there.
Right aware. There. Yeah. I read his book, his first one, it's not about the bike. And I was there for the first quarter or half of the book. And a lot of those scenes, you know, I didn't make the text, but I just remember thinking, I was reading it, I was like, I don't remember it that way.
You know, so. That's really funny. So yeah. Let me ask you, when you think about something that hasn't come out yet, is there an area that you're like, oh, it's coming, like this is going to be blown sky high?
Oh, like an area of business that's fraught right now that no one knows about. You know what? I don't have anything like that I'm comfortable talking about because people would get in trouble.
I understand that.
Yeah, I better.
No, I get
that. The fifth on that.
Yeah, I was pushing it.
Yeah, now, no, I appreciate it. I do, but I can't do it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask it a different way.
Okay.
As cybersecurity becomes more intensive and things are happening online, how can we use your body expert services when things are, you know, getting into the high tech world, or can we not?
I'll tell you what is very concerning to me are these deep fake videos. And I was working with a cybersecurity guy, just a friend of mine, and he made some up, and I could not tell the difference.
Tell us more about deepfake videos.
Well, it's where, we've seen some of them come out that have kind of went viral, like where Nancy Pelosi looks drunk, right? Wow. Saying whatever she says, or, you know, the way it gets, the reason it's problematic is because, so the way social media is right now, you give everyone a microphone and then all the crazies get together and mm-hmm. cause problems. And that's my synopsis of social media and how it affects society. But, if let's say a certain group that wanted to make a certain point and swing opinion their way decided to make a video of the president saying something that wouldn't fly with a lot of people, and you couldn't tell the difference before maybe the fact checkers got to it, or you know, things like that, or maybe a foreign government would do something that could, I mean, it could potentially, I suppose, cause a war or things like that. That's problematic. Yeah. So the fact that I tried really hard and I couldn't tell the difference was I was very concerned about that, because
that's terrible. Yeah. Uh-huh. For somebody like you who is truly an expert in this area. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is also a question that you are an expert in this as well.
Okay.
What is your favorite beauty product by name?
By name. You know what? I have it right here on my desk because I need to order more. Here it is. Big sexy hair. I don't know if you can see it. Let's see.
I love that. That's one of my favorite hairsprays.
It's not hairspray. Oh no. Oh no. Oh,
I use Big Sexy Hair as a hairspray.
Okay. So my hair is not big or sexy. However, I'm from Texas and I do like big hair. I understand the value of it. And this is hair powder, which is awesome. So I like this brand because you don't have to put very much, and then you just kind of go like that, and then you got body that's going to last. And
so is this like a dry shampoo?
No, it is powder play, big sexy hair. This is hair powder. This is not shampoo. This is make your hair big and be closer to God. That's what this is.
Tracy, where can people learn more about you?
Oh, I am at bodylanguagetrainer.com, and you can go there and you can find me on YouTube real easy, and all the socials you'll find me. But yeah, bodylanguagetrainer.com.
Awesome. And we will make sure to also put that in the show notes. Tracy, what fun it's been. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And we look forward to following up when we hear that your show is going live and watching it. And for those that are interested in getting more information about Tracy, you can visit the show notes on www.therelaunchco.com under podcast, and you will find it all there. Tracy, until next time, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Silver Lined Relaunch. If I said something today that resonated with you, will you please head over to iTunes right now and leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with others and help them find the silver linings as well. And don't forget, you can have immediate access to the show notes, any giveaways, and the links to those amazing beauty products at therelaunchco.com/podcast. Until next time, there's always a silver lining, and now is the time to hit the reset button to relaunch those transitions into transformations.